Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. The provision of health services is a critical and significant mission within each branch of the U.S. military. Since its inception in the summer of 1949, the Air Force Medical Service has sought to provide its airmen and their families with first-rate health care and benefits anywhere and at any time. In support of deployed forces, the Air Force Medical Services also plays a central role in the most effective joint casualty care and management system in military history, a system that has saved thousands of lives that otherwise would have been lost in the battlefield. With us this morning to discuss the mission of the U.S. Air Force Medical Services is our very special guest, Lieutenant General James Rodebush, Surgeon General, U.S. Air Force. Good morning, General.
Good morning.
Also joining us in our conversation is Tom Romeo, IBM's General Government Industry Leader. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Al.
General, many of our listeners will be familiar with the U.S. Air Force, but they may not be as familiar with the Air Force Medical Services. Could you share some history and a perspective with us? When was the Air Force Medical Services created, and can you describe for us its mission today and how it supports the overall mission of the DoD?
Well, thanks for the opportunity to be with you this morning. It really is a pleasure to be able to share the story of the Air Force Medical Service. As you're probably aware, the Air Force itself was established in 1947 when it was recognized that having an independent entity that provided the capabilities of an Air Force were recognized and the United States Air Force was established. About a year and a half after that, it was further recognized that to support this doctrinal capability, this United States Air Force, the medical support of that capability was indeed unique and required the dedicated capabilities of a medical service that supported that force in all the ways that it performed its mission. So in July of 1949, the Air Force Medical Service was established. The principal activities within that very early Air Force Medical Service, no surprise, followed the doctrinal applications of the Air Force. Aerospace medicine was both an established and evolving specialty and capability that addressed the unique attributes of operating in the aerial environment and all the implications of that sort of mission. In addition to that, the expeditionary nature of the Air Force and its ability to basically reach virtually any area on the globe within hours to a day at the most required the medical support that complemented that global reach capability, and the medical service needed to be supportive of that capability. And lastly, air medical evacuation had certainly proven its value during World War II, but as we begin to operate in the far-reaching areas of the globe, it was recognized that the ability to bring our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines home safely, if in fact their health condition required it, was in fact a unique attribute of the United States Air Force, and the medical service clearly needed to be prepared and able to support that mission. So as we established the Air Force Medical Service, there were some unique attributes in support of the Air Force, as well as supporting the day-to-day requirements of the active duty force and their families, and retirees as well. So that's the genesis of the Air Force Medical Service.
That's great. So as this organization has evolved over the past 60-some-odd years, can you give us a sense of the scale of this organization, a little bit about how it's organized, size of its budget, and how your forces are deployed across the world?
Certainly. Today's Air Force Medical Service is made up of a little over 43,000 individuals, and that is active duty and civilian members of the Air Force Medical Service. But importantly, we also have 9,000 Air Force Reserve medical members as well as 6,000 Air National Guard. We execute as a total force that brings the capabilities of the active or regular component together with the reserve and the guard in a way that leverages the capability of all the components. So we really are a total force So you can see that we're well over 50,000 members, basically reaching worldwide, supporting 75 bases and installations around the world, and supporting our forces both at home and deployed wherever we find the mission.
General, now that you've provided us with a sense of the larger organization, could you talk a little bit about your specific responsibilities and duties as the U.S. Air Force Surgeon General?
Certainly. My job as the Air Force Surgeon General is to assure that each one of those medics, and I use the word medic rather broadly, physicians, nurses, technicians, officer, enlisted, we're all Air Force medics. My job is to make sure that every Air Force medic can do their job, that they have the training, they have the resources, they have all of those capabilities that they need to do the job wherever they find it.
And in fulfilling your responsibilities, what are the top three challenges that you face, and how have you addressed those challenges?
Well, it goes back to the top three challenges or priorities for our Air Force. Number one is winning the fight today. We are engaged in a global war on terror, and it's a fight that we must win. Certainly, our focus, our effort is in providing all the capabilities for our Air Force and for our joint forces to be able to win that fight, to prosecute that fight successfully. The second challenge is to take care of our people. And certainly as medics, our responsibility, in fact, our privilege is to take care of our airmen, as well as our soldiers, sailors, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, who all go in harm's way. But that also means my responsibility is certainly there in taking care of our medics to assure that they're well cared for, that they're trained, that they're prepared to do the job that they're asked to do. So first priority, win the war fight. Second priority, equally on that footing, is to take care of our people. And thirdly, is to be ready for tomorrow, to prepare for the challenges tomorrow, which may well be rather different than the challenges we're facing today. To do that, we obviously have to have the right equipment, the right structure, but most importantly, we have to have the right people. And that involves recruiting the very best, training them, preparing them, and then retaining them to assure that we continue to be able to meet the mission wherever we find it.
Now, General, I understand that you began your medical training back in the early to mid-70s at the University of Nebraska. Could you tell us a bit about your career path? What brought you to serve as both a physician and an officer within the U.S. Air Force?
Well, as I grew up in western Nebraska, my heroes were my mom, my dad, and the family physician that took care of us. That was a huge force in my life in terms of thinking about what my goals and priorities would be. So as I grew up, I knew I wanted to be a physician. And I was able to stepwise move through the educational requirements and ultimately to be educated at the University of Nebraska School of Medicine, which gave me a marvelous education. While I was there, the opportunity to join the military presented itself in the Health Profession Scholarship Program. At that time, it was a very new program, but it offered the opportunity to join the military, to serve, but also to have financial assistance and support in getting my education. So it really allowed me to further my education, but also to fulfill what I viewed as a privilege to serve. So I joined the Air Force as a health profession scholarship student, was able to do my family practice residency at Wright-Patterson Medical Center in the Air Force, and moved on to Cheyenne, Wyoming, as my first assignment at F.E. Warren, rather anticipating that once my obligated service was completed that I would go back to western Nebraska and go back into private practice. But as I got to know more about the Air Force mission and the military mission, I was literally captured by it. I've truly enjoyed every day in uniform sense.
That's a wonderful story. So as you reflect back on your training and your career over the years, both as a physician and as an officer in the Air Force, how have these experiences perhaps shaped your current leadership role and your current management style?
Well, the opportunities I had, beginning with that family practice residency, which was extraordinarily effective training, followed by my first assignment at F.E. Warren, which allowed me to really employ my training, but also understand how it fit into the broader military mission, the mission of the Air Force, gave me a sense of what I was looking for in terms of challenges. And subsequent assignments, both at the wing level in Europe, allowed me to expand my horizons, to become more operationally engaged, with the flying mission gave me the underpinnings, I think, to really understand the Air Force medical mission. Then I was given the opportunity to be the central command surgeon, a unified command surgeon, at a very challenging time in the early 90s. And that really gave me exposure and experience in joint operations and joint medical operations. Following that experience, I had the chance to serve at both the major command and the air staff level. So my experience, I believe, has prepared me very well for the challenges that we face today and given me a real sense of what the issues are, both from the service and from the joint perspectives, and also a sense of how really to leverage our medical capabilities, Air Force, Army, Navy, in support of the broader warfight.
That's fantastic. What about the success of the Air Force's aeromedical evacuation capability? We will ask Lieutenant General James Rodebush, Surgeon General of the U.S. Air Force, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.